Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. The U.S. Supreme Court this week upheld a ruling by a lower court that the legislative districts drawn by the Republican General Assembly violated the Constitution by packing African-American voters into districts to increase Republican power in other areas. The ruling means lawmakers will have to redraw nearly half of the 170 legislative districts and still could hold an election this year. That is up to a lower court. Here to talk about the ruling and to weigh in on the House budget is House Minority Leader Darren Jackson. Well, Representative Jackson, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time at this busy time of the year.
Always enjoy it.
Well, let's start with the big news of this past week, the ruling by the Supreme Court that confirms a lower court ruling that the legislative districts were illegally racially gerrymandered. What was your reaction when you heard that?
Well, of course, that's the opinion that we had been hoping for several months. There was a similar case that was argued out of Virginia that was argued the same day the congressional case. Harris was argued in the Supreme Court. Where the Virginia legislature had used 55% for the Voting Rights Act districts. And so we expected this decision, but it had been delayed so long that, you know, you start to question whether it's coming and what's going on with it. So we're glad to finally see it come out.
What would you like to see happen now? I mean, where do we go from here?
Well, we get a redraw, and I think we should have a redraw this year in 2017 special elections. I think the Republicans have done something they clearly knew was a racial gerrymander from day one. There was no case law or anything that said that they had to take our Voting Rights Act districts to 50% African-American. These are districts were being won at the way they were drawn at the time. And so they clearly violated the law, and they got away with doing it. And they had 12 elections, 14 elections, and 16 elections all under unconstitutional districts. And so I think we deserve to have that fixed as soon as possible.
I want to talk about the budget, but one more redistricting question. I don't know if you saw some of the statements. Representative Lewis and Senator Heist put out a statement saying they were encouraged that the court didn't issue a special election. It seemed like the Republicans were ignoring the fact that they were just told that they did something illegal.
I believe that is a great summary of what I saw as well. I really saw them. They were really active. Dallas Woodhouse on Twitter and everything yesterday going after the Fourth Circuit for getting its hand slapped on the remedy. You go in there and you read it, and that's not actually exactly what happened. What they said is you need to, they gave a test, a new test for new elections. And so hopefully the Fourth Circuit can consider that, do the new test, and find that there's enough time to do a new election before we start back next May. I mean, right. Everybody assumes that a special election has to be in November because we always have elections in November. The truth is, it doesn't matter when the special election is. As long as it happens before we start the short session next May, then we'd have a new body to consider, you know, the budget revisions and things of that nature. So there's time for that.
There's a lot of things happening in Raleigh, the General Assembly, but the big one is always the state budget. The Senate and House have passed budgets. You voted against the House budget. Why did you not think that was the appropriate direction for North Carolina?
Well, you know, we were in a really unique position this time in that we had the governor's budget, and it was clear on all measures the governor's budget was superior to both the House and the Senate budget. And the governor was able to fund a lot of important programs, a lot of important needs for North Carolina. And he was able to do that without a tax increase and without a fee increase. So we had a model that we could follow to see that it could be done and that the Republicans just chose not to make those investments. And so, you know, from the three of them, I mean, there were parts of the Senate budget that were good and there were parts of the House budget that were a little better. But overall, the governor's budget was clearly superior and was a good model, a blueprint that we should have followed. And we just didn't do that.
What were some of the subject areas that you thought that there weren't enough investments in?
For one, it's state employees, retirees. You know, we have put off things for years. You know, the Democrats cut textbooks in 2009 when we were going through a recession. We were faced with a decision: do we lay off teachers or we cut textbooks? We cut textbooks, and you could cut textbooks for a year or two, and still. But now we've gone 7-8 years and have not restored those cuts. And so it would be easy with the non-recurring money that we have available this year to just catch that up in 1 year, buy all new textbooks. Things like that would not break our future budgets. What the Republicans have chosen to do instead is pass these continuing more tax cuts, especially the Senate budget, very large tax cuts that are going to present problems in the out years that are just going to destroy our budgeting. in the out years. And so I think there was just a lot of better investments that we could have made this year, some recurring, some non-recurring.
What do you make of listening to the House debate, and the Senate debate was similar? The Republicans always go back to 2009, 2010, when the Democrats were in control, and forget to mention the recession. It's as if they just think that the Democrats just cut all these things just for the heck of it, I guess.
Yes, that is my favorite. They've got now, since we've gotten later in the decade, they started comparing it to the decade of the Democrats, which ended in 2010, and then the current decade, and they forget about the recession and the growth and everything. It's really funny. They, despite all their opposition to President Obama, they sure do take a lot of credit for the national recovery. Because the truth is, the recovery in North Carolina has mirrored the national recovery to a certain extent. We've been actually a little slower than the national recovery, but they seem to be taking a lot of credit for that. And it is very frustrating. And a lot of their, you know, we one of the things we did in 2009 is we passed a temporary sales tax increase. And, you know, I call it the teacher tax because that's what it was designed to do, to keep teachers in the classroom. That tax expired in 2011 or 2012. Would Republicans take credit for that? It's a tax cut, even though they had nothing to do with it. You know, it was temporary all along. So I do chuckle when I hear things like that.
It's interesting that there's, and this is sort of getting into the weeds maybe for the listeners, but there's so many things that have changed. They've changed the process. Like back in the day, teacher pay used to be a separate category, and then you'd look at education spending. And now it seems they combine all those and talk about how much they've raised education, or they use federal block grants to pay for things that the state used to pay for. So how do you try to explain that to constituents who don't understand it?
It is very difficult. For instance, you know, they get up and they say, well, we fully funded enrollment growth at our university system. And there's a line in the budget that shows fully funded enrollment growth. But then there's a flexibility cut to the university system that takes $100 million away. And it's really hard to explain that, especially when you talk in 30-second sound bites and everything. So what I try to do is I try to take advantage of it in our newsletter that I send out or postings on Facebook. Of course, Twitter's too short. And then be doing a series of town hall meetings where you can actually have discussions with people and sit down and talk to them and explain what you're talking about. But it is really hard because they do little things that make it look like they're doing one thing. But if you look at the entire budget, you can see where they took it right back out of the education system.
You mentioned state employees. You represent a lot of state employees in Wake County. The Senate gave nothing to state retirees, a tiny raise to state employees. Are we getting to the point where it's hard to get people to want to work for state government?
Absolutely it is. And we have a lot of state employees. The one thing I will give the House Republicans credit for is I really like the way they structured the raise. Instead of doing it a percentage, they set $1,000 for every state employee. And so that really helps our lower wage state employees. As a percentage-wise, much higher raise for them. And we have some employees that are right at the poverty level, you know, of a family of four. And so I really like that part. But, you know, if we can't give these folks raises in good economic years where we have $500 million surpluses, it won't be long before we'll be at the next recession. We are at a long period of economic growth. And we won't be able to do something in those recessions, and they'll just continue to get farther and farther behind, especially with all the other taxes we have raised in the General Assembly, you know, the gas tax, expanding the sales tax base. They just get farther and farther behind on their buying power. And then on top of that, you start to hear them talk about, well, we got to do something about our health insurance system, and talking about maybe not guaranteeing future state employees health insurance, or maybe moving away from a defined benefit. Those things are all going to make it even harder to recruit teachers and other state employees. What we need to do is fund these things properly, and we wouldn't be in the situation we're in.
And finally, before I let you go, we haven't talked about HB2 in a while, but there was I don't know how, what you would describe it as, sort of a repeal, didn't make some people happy. Governor Cooper has promised to work for statewide protections for LGBT community. How important is that, and is that something you'll still be pushing?
Oh, yes, it'd definitely be something we'll still be pushing. I mean, the truth is we can talk about it in the General Assembly, but we can't really do anything about it until we get some more seats. So I expect you'll see bills and things of that nature. The governor says he's going to have an executive order, and so we look forward to that and seeing how far that goes. I'm hoping he'll go even farther than Governor McCrory did under his executive order. But I do expect it to be something that we continue to talk about and hopefully continue to push in the court system as well, maybe get some relief there.
Well, Representative Jackson, thanks for all you're doing in Raleigh. We really appreciate you being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Up next, the push for an independent redistricting process gains more momentum. Stay with us.